Father God, we do indeed thank you for Connie and for those who prepare and teach our Sunday school lessons. We thank you for each of these young lives who's going to go out now, and they are here from your word, great truth, and we pray, Father God, that these things will enter their hearts and their minds and give them a good foundation in your word as they step into this very uncertain world. We pray for us too as we open your word now, and we pray that we will be blessed through your Holy Spirit in each of our lives as we look into your word. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. We're going through this series called Transformed. Today we're up to the fifth topic in the series. And as practical, I think, as the first four have been, in some ways I think they've been kind of laying the pathway for these next few. And I mean, they have been really helpful in themselves, but in a lot of ways they're kind of leading up to these next three that we're doing, built around the now very familiar verses of Romans 12, 1 and 2. We've looked at transforming our lives through the renewing of our minds in areas of spiritual, physical, mental and emotional health. Each one practical in their own applications and well ordered, as we consider these last three topics, starting today with relational health, financial health and vocational health, before we head over to Blacktown on the 25th of June for that combined service at the end. Take a moment to just remind yourself of what it is we're hoping and praying to achieve by going through this series together. Just revisit Romans 12, 1 and 2 with me. I'm going to read from the New Living Translation, just to hear it in a different way perhaps, and maybe just think about some of the words that you hear in relation to the things that we've talked about so far. Romans 12, 1 and 2, and this is the New Living Translation. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship God. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. I want you to try something this week, not now while I'm speaking. Try something this week. Try and put the purpose of the series into one sentence. Try and write it out in one sentence. Try and summarise those two verses into one short sentence. Do it, and then come back to it in a couple of days and see what you did, and see if you need to change something. And do that a couple of times, and see if you can come up with a one sentence short summary of what this series is all about and these two verses are all about. See how you go. See what it's like. I hope we all see this work to be the work of God's Holy Spirit in our lives over the whole of our lifespan, over as it covers not just these eight topics that we've chosen to do, but over every area of our life. And whether you're new to faith in Jesus, and this is all part of a wonderful revolution that's taking place in your life, or whether you've been faithfully following Jesus as Lord for 50 years or more, and this series is kind of just tinkering around the edges of your life, I hope it is doing that. I hope you are still being transformed through the renewing of your mind to conform less to the patterns and thinking and lifestyle considered by this world to be acceptable and right, and more and more to pursue, to desire a better way, which brings us joy in knowing God's pleasing and perfect will for us in Jesus. Relationships is what we're talking about this morning, and I blame God for all the relationship problems and issues that we have. Have a think about it. God is a relational God, and we were made in his image, that's why we have all these problems. Is that a fair thing to say? Probably not. But we are made in the image of God. Michelle read to us from Genesis 1. We're just going to revisit verse 26. Then God said, "Let us make man in our own image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." We are made in God's likeness. What is God like? He is a relational God. He lives in a perfect relationship with the Son and with the Holy Spirit. He is the eternal three in that perfect relationship. And in creating us, he wanted us to experience the perfection of relationship with him, but not just with him. He wanted us to enjoy all of his creation and to live in a relationship with all of that, including each other. He made Eve. He made Adam, then he made Eve to live together, relate with each other, to relate as a couple. Relational living, relationships are for our good. They're for our benefit. They're to be enjoyed. They are to give us pleasure. So I don't blame God for making us relational beings with all the problems and difficulties. I bless him for doing that, because it's a good thing. But our relationships do cause us trouble. They're not always easy, they're not always enjoyable. And who is to blame for that situation? Well, of course we are. Just after we are created in God's image to enjoy the gift of being relational creatures, we read earlier in Genesis 3 what happened. I think there is one thing at the heart of listening to the lie that Satan told, and the deceit that he presented. It was always going to cause us problems afterwards. The consequence of listening to Satan and acting on what he said is that fear came into our relationships. If we look again at Genesis 3 verses 8 to 10. "The man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, 'Where are you?' He answered, 'I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid.'" I was afraid. Fear produces things. Fear produces poor thinking. Poor thinking produces bad decisions. Bad decisions bring dire consequences. Adam and Eve are today our anti-models. They are what we shouldn't have done. But they're not our scapegoats, because we are just like them. We wouldn't have done anything different. They are only examples of ourselves. And they, like us, are fearful of many things. And there are lots of things that we could have looked at today in our relationships, in our relational health. I'm not a psychologist. I don't have any degree in relationship counselling or anything like that. This is not meant to be anything like that. We're just going to look at a few things from the scriptures to help us understand how we can enjoy our relationships more. So, the three things from this passage I think that we need to focus on that are fearful. We are fearful of exposure, we are fearful of disapproval, and we are fearful of losing control. Fear of exposure. Fear of exposure makes us distant. I think we have a desire to have closer relationships with people. I think in our hearts we want to have closer relationships with people, more intimate relationships with our husband, with our wife, with our children, with family members. We want to have closer relationships with friends. But there are a lot of things about us that we don't like. There are a lot of things about us that we don't like. So what if other people knew about those things as well? We fear that, and so we don't want them to know those things. So we create that little distance between us and them. We don't want to be exposed. We don't want to be vulnerable to their judgment and their criticism, which would be like a type of punishment to us, wouldn't it? We don't want that. And so we don't want that to happen. So we distance ourselves from being in that position by not opening up, not getting as close, not being as intimate with those people, even in those most personal and cherished relationships. We feel ashamed of those things, don't we? Those things we don't like about ourselves shame us. Like Adam and Eve, they make us naked. We're exposed. What did they do when they realised they were naked? They covered up their nakedness. We do the same thing, I think. If I were to ask you, how do you think I cover up my shame and my vulnerabilities? What sort of strategy do you think I use to do that? Yeah, okay. Go ahead. Humour. We often do that, don't we? We hide behind that mask of humour. He's a funny guy. How well do you really know those people? Other people use other things. They try and look the part. They look impregnable. They look impregnable to shame and indignity and things like that. Oh, they couldn't possibly be like that at all. They're such a dignified person. Other people try to be quiet, try to blend into the background. And they cover things up that way, not attracting attention to themselves, so they don't have to engage in relationships with people at anything other than a very superficial level, which they hope will mean they don't have to endure the scrutiny of those deeper relationships. But we weren't made to endure. We were made to enjoy. We were made to enjoy. We were made to enjoy those relationships. And sure, that's going to cause us some pain, it's going to cause us some embarrassment, it's going to cause us some indignity, but the value of building those relationships and making yourself vulnerable and leaving is beyond any pain that you can suffer because of your shame. All of these effects of fear are robbing us of the joy of deep, intimate, valuable, meaningful relationships with so many in our lives, starting with those very close, intimate relationships and going down the line to them. Ultimately, fear in relationships will impact your relationship with God. Adam and Eve hear God walking in the garden, and so they hide in the trees wearing their designer fig leaf clothing, hoping that God won't find them. What did they think God was going to do? I wonder where Adam and Eve are. Oh, well, I'll just go down to the river and see if they're there. God knew where they were. He knew what they were doing. He knew what they were thinking. He knew what they'd done. He knew what they were doing. But remember, He wants the best for us. He wants the best for us to know Him, to relate to Him, and to relate to Him well, and to relate to others well. He doesn't expect perfection. He does expect honesty, so that we can enjoy Him in that relationship that He so desires for us to have. Paul wrote to the Philippians in Philippians 1, 9 and 11, "And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, the praise of the glory of God." How will that happen in your life if you can't open up and be honest and relate to Jesus in that way? We don't want to interrupt that relationship building with God in any way at all. Fear of exposure, shame, covering up, distance from God, all unhelpful in our relationships. We also fear disapproval from others, don't we? Another way of saying that is rejection. I think we all fear rejection. Perhaps you can all think back to that boy or girl that you wanted to ask out and you were too afraid to, in case they said no. We fear that kind of rejection. We don't want to be the cause of any problems either. We don't want people to blame us for what happened. We don't take responsibility for our own actions and the consequences of those actions. I think you can probably guess where we're going back in that passage in Genesis 3 here. at verse 11 to 13. And he says, this is God, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from? What did the man say? The woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree and I ate it. Then the Lord God said to the woman, what is this you have done? The woman said, the serpent deceived me and I ate. We don't like to be the cause of the problem. We don't like to take that responsibility. And this fear of disapproval causes us to become defensive, and defensiveness closes off communication, which closes off relationships. As you draw the wagons around and you get into the trenches and you put up your barricades to protect yourself, that's what happens to your relationships. Things don't go well from then on. And then we find ourselves losing control, don't we? And we hate losing control. We don't like not being in control. Well, I've lost my place. We find ourselves losing control. We don't like losing control. And to wrestle back control, we sacrifice a little bit of integrity. We sacrifice a little bit of honesty. It all takes a bit of a hit. Don't you find that's what happens? Yeah. And we end up not enjoying relationships as God intended us to, and they become a real problem. And they become too hard, and they become a real effort. What is that effort doing? It's protecting us. It's not building the relationship. It's protecting ourselves. Why do we do that? Well, we'll talk about that in a few minutes. But it's not good. It's not good. So we want to be transformed from the pattern of this world, which might include the fears we've just spoken of, and we want to conform to the renewing of our minds to God's will. We want to put those things aside. We want to put those things out of our life. What is God's will for us in the area of relationships? I think the answer lies in these next three passages of Scripture, which we're going to read one after the other, but which combined, I think, build up our understanding of what God wants for us, as opposed to what the pattern of this world is. We're going to start in Mark 12. Jesus is asked by a teacher of the law, what is the most important commandment? And this is what Jesus says, Mark 12, 29 to 31. The most important one, Jesus said, is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this. Love your neighbour as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. Jesus is in the upper room. He's with his disciples just before the ordeal of his passion, his death, and he tells them this. John 13, 34, 35. A new command I give you. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. And finally, the last passage. Just picture this. I love picturing John. Picture this old fisherman. He's reflecting on his life. He's probably around about 90 years old. He was in that upper room. He was with Jesus when he spoke those words. And this aging disciple writes a letter, and in it is this beautiful passage, I think, that's reflecting on exactly what Jesus said to him in that room. 1 John 4, 13 to 21. We know that we live in him and he in us because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father sent his Son to be Saviour of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Remember when we were made in God's image? God is love. We were made to love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. In this way, love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment, because in this world we are like him. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, "I love God," but hates his brother, he is a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And he has given us this command: whoever loves God must also love his brother. There are some verses here that directly address the issue of fear, which we know doesn't help us enjoy healthy relationships. There is no fear in love. Perfect love drives out fear. Fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. Those verses address that issue. So the answer to all relationships problems and issues is pretty simple. We just have to learn to love and learn to live in God's love. Is that pretty straightforward? It can be simple, I guess, if we allow the word of God to overwhelm us, to dominate us, to be the guide and the light of our path, our journey of faith in this life, to be the pattern that we follow every day. But specifically today, we want it to guide our thinking in our relationships. And so what do we need to do to make that happen? This is not revolutionary. I'm sure you have heard all of these things I'm about to tell you. I hope it's just reinforcing what you already know. Every day we need to surrender our hearts to God. Every day we need to surrender our hearts to God. I can hear some minds ticking, perhaps. Oh, but I did that 50 years ago at a Billy Graham crusade. I did that 30 years ago at a youth camp where I heard this guy speaking. I did it 10 years ago at a scripture meeting at school one day. I did it 2 years ago in this church one morning after one of your wonderful sermons, Lee. I did it 2 weeks ago after hearing Glenn's talk about mental health. I did it yesterday after reading the scripture with someone. We need to do it every single day. Surrender your heart to God every day. When you get up in the morning, surrender your heart to him, your emotions, your physical well-being, your spirit. Get closer to God through his word and prayer and see what happens. We're going to read a passage from that very well-known Old Testament book on the subject of love. Job. Is that the book you thought of? Not me. This is from Rick Warren's thinking. I'm going to read it slowly. This is where you need to have that pen. This is where you need to have your pen and that little bit of paper if you want to do this. It's not a test. We're not going to check afterwards to see who did it. I'm going to read this passage slowly. I want you to write down, if you can, all the benefits of surrendering your heart to God every day. And then later today, or tomorrow, or some other day during this week, look at this list. See how it relates to transforming your life in your relationships, but in all these other areas. You ready? We're going to read from Job 11, 13 to 18. See if you can jot down all the benefits of surrendering your heart to God every day. If you devote your heart to him and stretch out your hands to him, if you put away the sin that is in your hand and allow no evil to dwell in your tent, then you will lift up your face without shame. You will lift up your face without shame. You will stand firm without fear. You will surely forget your trouble, recalling it only as waters gone by. Life will be brighter than noonday, and darkness will be like morning. You will be secure because there is hope. You will look about you and take your seat in safety. Have a read through that list, or read through that passage again sometime during this week. Devote your life to him. Stretch out your hands to him. There is effort needed here. This is not something that's just going to happen. There is effort needed here, but it is effort worth putting in. Surrender your heart to God every day and enjoy the benefits that that brings. Then to help us learn to live in God's love, we need to remember his love for us. Remember Jesus' new command, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. Somehow, remind yourself each day how much you are loved by God. We are completely accepted by him. We fear rejection and disapproval by others because they might find out something about what we've done that shames. We already talked about that. Think about God. He already knows all those things and things that you've already forgotten, and yet he still accepts you and he wants to relate to you. How much should we be fearing his rejection because of our sin, and yet he doesn't want that for us? He knows about all of those things already. And yet, if you listen to what Paul told the Romans in Romans chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, think about that when you're thinking about this issue. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not just acceptance, we have peace with God. Peace with God. Access to grace. Hope in his glory. We are totally accepted by God. We remember that we are unconditionally loved by God. God's love is not based on what we do, but it's based on who he is. Now, what we do can help us to learn more about who he is, and so we can enjoy his love for us more and more, but the basis is always on who he is. Remember, we are totally forgiven. I think we cover that every week here at Westview. We have this meal which we come around every week. It reminds us of the forgiveness that we have, but it never hurts to remind yourself again and again and again. We are totally forgiven, and that helps us to learn to live in God's love. Remember, we are extremely valuable to God. We are extremely valuable to God. We were worth so much that he sent his son to pay the price for our redemption. That price was his life, so we could be in his family because we are now his sons and daughters. How much is that worth to you? How much is that worth to each of us? Remember that we are completely accepted, unconditionally loved, totally forgiven, extremely valuable. All of these things help us to remember to learn to live in God's love. Finally, we are to offer God's love to others. In John's letter, he said, if anyone says, I love God, but hates his brother, he's a liar. You don't want to be a liar. I don't want to be a liar. We don't want to be liars. For anyone who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. I like to think John is reflecting here on those words he heard Jesus say, whoever loves God must love his brother. I like to think that he's thinking about that all those years ago. You want to transform your relationships from the pattern of this world to conform to God's will, please read the scriptures for help. Please pray for this to happen in your life. And please get out there and offer God's love to others as you enjoy the relationship that God has intended for you to have with him. Offer that to others. Let me pray. Oh, Father God, I pray that it is the desire of each one here. I pray it's my desire that we be transformed in our thinking through the renewing of our mind to enjoy relationships more and more. I recognise, Father God, the difficulties that sometimes can cause, but our Father, we pray that through your Spirit, through the strength that you give us, we will be conforming more to what you want us to enjoy in those relationships and not worrying about the things that we think will shame us or will cause us fear and anxiety. Our Father, I pray that in these things you would be glorified as we take on board the truth of your word and enjoy those relationships which you created for us to enjoy right back there in the garden. Pray, Father God, for our time together this morning as we've been thinking about this entire series and the way it's affecting our life, but even in this very important issue this morning. I pray, Father God, that these things are helping us to live lives that bring glory to you more and more as we do transform our lives and our thinking to conform with your will, your pleasing, your pleasant, your perfect will for our lives. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.